listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life Program for Wednesday, June 5th. We are finally live. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Oh, good evening, Michael. As always, glad to be here and glad you fixed that little glitch in the beginning. So we're good to go.
Yes, as in so many tech solutions, you just turn it off and turn it back on and it somehow works again. I don't know why, but so happy that we're all together again. Thank you, everybody, that takes the time to join us live. We appreciate the conversation. We appreciate your input, and we appreciate you and those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. We appreciate your contributions. We get your emails, and we like your feedback. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we begin with our nine abbreviated principles of belief. 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, so yeah, we're talking about deja vu, and as our live listener Kevin had pointed out, deja vu all over again. He feels like he's been here before, and love that chat, guys. Yeah, we talked about this a little bit last week. We've talked about it before, I'm sure, but you know, this is my favorite kind of deja vu. I get to come back and interact with you, Dr. Vicki, and you know, talk with those folks in chat. It's good stuff. Now, I know that we're going to start with the, you know, the coursework definition of deja vu and what we have in our own, you know, ICMH coursework. Dr. Vicki.
Well, and Dr. Doug Kelly was kind enough to send me an excerpt from MHS.M2-2, Advanced Metaphysical Concepts. And so in G61, if anybody's on TFU. So this is how it reads. Déjà vu is French, and it means already seen. The dictionary defines déjà vu as the illusion of having previously experienced something actually being encountered for the first time. However, déjà vu is much more an illusion for those who have experienced it. It's an extremely strong realization of familiarity, far beyond that of a casual memory. So some believe that déjà vu is evidence of reincarnation. However, they may be scientific evidence that it's a physiological cause. And so this is where it gets kind of interesting. And we got way more other interesting things to talk about tonight too, everyone. But this, as Dr. Kelly has written, two related conditions known as paramnesia and jamais vu may be responsible for some occurrences. Now, paramnesia is the illusion of remembering scenes and events when experienced for the first time. And jamais vu, and that's spelled J-A-M-A-I-S, is a disorder of memory characterized by the illusion that the familiar is being encountered for the first time. And so there's a higher incidence of deja vu in those suffering from temporal lobe epilepsy.
Mm.
Hey, wow, that's so it's fascinating that the brain, how we perceive, you know, all these things kind of factor in, you know, to any of these experiences.
Fatigue also greatly increases the likelihood that you'll experience deja vu, lack of sleep, exhaustion, physical exhaustion, and things like that, too.
Oh, sure.
Now,
I also found other information, for instance, a cultural significance, and it goes back to ancient Greece. And by the ancient Roman culture, thought deja vu was considered a prophecy from the god Jupiter. Huh. So then there's another meaning, memory leaking in from a past life. But then this is where I find it really interesting. Deja vu occurs when we encounter something new but feels like we've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
Vujade is the reverse. We face something familiar, but we see it with a fresh perspective that enables us to gain new insights into old problems. I had not read that before, Michael.
I don't know that I've ever experienced that.
No, I didn't.
Something that, you know, like something very familiar, like walking into your own home that you've lived in for years and it feeling new, or, you know, a family member, friend, or pet that you've known for years that seems new. I don't know that I've ever experienced that.
No. So there's another thing. Some people think, you know, you've had it in a dream, and then it happens in waking life. But there was, a couple of other other terminologies and things that I hadn't thought of, and I'm just kind of scrolling at the moment. But there's, let me see here. There's just different terminologies for alternate experiences, alternate views of this.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like vu deje, who knew? And then vujade.
Really should have good old American English terms for these now instead of being like the French. Come on. we have respect for ourselves. Jeez.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, so, maybe not Canadians, but, you know, Americans do.
You know, I've had these experiences many, many times.
Mm.
And what was given to me by an indigenous elder in southern Alberta was, if you have a deja vu, it means you're on your true path. You've somehow synchronized with yourself on alternate planes of existence. Like, we have alternate selves living at the same time. And that's a very common understanding in indigenous culture. So I thought, well, that's kind of cool, you know, kind of interesting. And I've had experiences where I kind of sit with it. I've been here before. What happened before? And how can I change it? And then, of course, it does a zig when I think it's going to zag, and it's something else entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it kind of changes the path. So
yeah.
I find it just fascinating.
Well, it is. We've all felt it. It's a very interesting and unique experience, isn't it? It's akin to that notion that, different, but akin to the notion that like you're experiencing something that you've dreamed before, isn't it? It's that kind of weird feeling that takes you out of the moment, you know, coming back to the French term meaning already seen, which I think you had said in the description, although I was tuned out doing some behind-the-scenes work. Dr. Mike threw it in the chat again as well. But, you know, I do know that we're going to cover, you know, we've talked a little bit about some of the scientific stuff behind it, and I think we're going to touch on that again. You had said that deja vu, you know, the indigenous peoples, some of them anyway, because they're not homogenous, believed that they were deja vu. It means that you're on the right path. You and your multiverse selves are kind of following these key moments, mm-hmm. right? What is the name of the reverse again?
Oh,
I got
it here. Hang on. Vujade.
Vujade, yeah, that sounds right.
When we face something familiar, but we see it with a fresh perspective that enables us to gain new insights into old problems.
And given this the first time both of us have heard of this term, as all speculation, but with that, I mean, if we're going to, for the sake of argument, say that this this, you know, regional indigenous philosophy. And I am correct about that. Is that not what you said? It was a First Nations people belief?
What?
That you're, that if you have deja vu a lot, you're on the this path that corresponds.
Yeah.
Would it not mean that if you have this déjà vu day, I don't know French, I'm sorry. Would it mean that you're not on a common path to your other selves or something like that? Just to go ahead and spitball and have a little fun with the idea?
Well, maybe it's psychological.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Where, it's just, I've been here before, and maybe you have, but you're seeing it from a new perspective.
Mm, armed with new knowledge or new wisdom, kind of see the same thing through new eyes. That's interesting.
Different expression of the same thing, but we get to see it different, a lesson learned differently, or, I don't know, an evolution of sorts. And again, I'm guessing, because nobody can accurately say what déjà vu is, except mm-hmm. that nearly everybody I've ever talked to in my life has had the experience of, yeah, I feel like I've been here before, which I think is different than if you go to a place and it's familiar. I think I think that's kind of a past life experience, like knowing where all the rooms are in a house or looking at the outside of a building and knowing what's inside.
It's almost like a surprised familiarity, isn't it? You know, being familiar with something that you shouldn't be, that you wouldn't expect to be.
Yeah.
And
I think you've been there before.
You know, Dr. Mike also threw in the three potential causes, neurological, psychological, and memory-based stuff. But I had looked up the neurological thought. It's dysfunctional connections between parts of your brain that play a role in memory, recollection, and familiarity. I've also heard it that it can be neurons that kind of just don't fire quite at the same time, so you get this double whammy of, you know, sensation. But it is it's always interesting to explore the speculative, isn't it? You know, we cannot say for sure. We know that there's probably many reasons for it. There's many different kinds, perhaps. But it is a mental exercise to explore the bounds of what we could consider to be real by exploring in speculation while acknowledging that we're not saying this is the definitive truth. We're doing thought experiments. And I have to say, personally, fatigue, I think, has been a correlating factor for me when it comes to déjà vu. Happens a lot when I'm tired. But, again, I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to have fun. When you're in a fatigue state, you're less kind of bound to this world. Would the, I don't know, maybe I'm not saying this right, the veil be thinner?
Oh, I don't know. When I'm fatigued, I just get miserable.
Well, there's two kinds of fatigue. There's the really tired, I hate the world. And then there's the really tired, I don't really care about anything. I'm just going to have fun and nothing really matters.
Oh, I've never been there.
Oh, that's one of my two types of tired. And that's the current type of tired that I am.
Well, I think that when I get really fatigued or tired, I just am not thinking straight. And I don't recall a déjà vu or anything like that when I've been that tired. Because it takes all my energy just to focus on, tying my shoelaces.
I can say that just for me, in my experience, I have, I'm always just monitoring things. I'm always trying to gauge things and, I have a bit of social anxiety that I've learned to deal with through my adult life, so it doesn't, not a hindrance by any means, but it takes energy. I'm an introvert. Being around people takes energy, and doing things takes energy. Mm-hmm. I find that when I get to this certain level of fatigue, I get to a, heck with it point. I just don't care about any of that. And it's very freeing. It's a very freeing sensation. And you just kind of, you have fun. You roll with it. What happens, happens. Then you get some sleep. It used to happen to me a lot when I was doing opening shifts, breaking up at 3:30 in the morning and back in my younger days. But, yeah, déjà vu happened a lot, especially when I was tired, especially earlier in the day when I didn't sleep much, just thinking back on it now. One thing I wanted to touch on, I'm just curious on your thoughts. Is there any connection in your mind, Dr. Vicky, between the experience of déjà vu and the experience that you feel when you you feel like you're reliving a situation that you dreamed, because I think they're two very distinct things.
I think I'm going to go with what Wendy's writing in the chat here, Michael. I'm not avoiding your question, but my brain is multitasking also. Wendy's just written that her thoughts on a deja vu happening when she's tired is because her defense is lowered. So kind of like what you're saying about being the veil lowered. And I think you could very well be onto something when we don't have that really sharp attention span, being on our game, you know, and you kind of lower all that. And then in my terminology, there's more room for spirit, more room for the super consciousness, you know, because we're not controlling everything quite so much. And so I think that that could apply in many different ways, which, you know, let's face it, if you want to get really scientific, it could explain some, you know, what science is trying to do with neurological theories.
Yeah.
Is what's the brain doing in those moments, and what's firing?
I think it's very exciting that we are on this, we're in the stage of our development, and I am a layperson. I am not a scientist. But from what I've seen, it strikes me that we're seeing the mechanics of thought. We still don't really understand consciousness, really, you know, mind location, et cetera. But we can see the mechanics of it. We know what fires it, right, in different things. But do we really know the meaning behind it yet? You know, I guess I've always kind of myself thought of the conscious mind, and I'm going to tie this back in a moment, as kind of I think you might have even said this on the broadcast, Dr. Mickey, the almost the antenna with which our consciousness plugs into this existence. And I do, in those times I've had deja vu, they've always been, you know, interesting. None of them have been bad, but they tend to be shorter. Like this moment is very familiar. I have had times where it's a very prolonged, maybe not very prolonged, but, you know, several minutes will go by, and everything about those several, maybe up to 5, maybe up to 10 minutes is very familiar to me. And I swear that I've dreamed it before, and as it's happening, it's like kind of coming to me at the same time. And that's kind of why I've always differentiated deja vu to those moments that pop up that you could swear you've dreamed about before.
Not to digress, but Dr. Mike has said mushrooms would do that as well, lowering all those defense mechanisms. And
that's it. I'm kidding.
I've never done mushrooms, so, but there's all kinds of reference to that. You know, certain natural substances can cause the brain to, you know, behave in certain ways, and maybe that would also cause what we would think or interpret as a deja vu.
Well, you know, indigenous tribal peoples from the European Celts and, you know, Scandinavians throughout the world, through Asia, through the Americas and what have you, they've always used different things to kind of enhance reality. You know,
I think that, you know, when we're trying to analyze an experience and give it some kind of an intellectual interpretation, it starts to lose the feeling. And it's very hard to articulate emotion on the best of days, let alone some kind of metaphysical experience, a psychic experience, a spiritual experience. How do you articulate that? How do you give it words? And I think that's what every writer or, you know, script writer, you know, tries to do, is how do you capture a feeling with words? And our tendency is, again, I'm being redundant, but to intellectualize it when it's a feeling. And where does that feeling come from? You know, we can't know. And there's probably many, many reasons for it. I have my preference, but it could be, and I've had it too, I have a feeling in the day. I say, well, wait a minute, I dreamed that last night. So I've had that experience. Or, you know, going into someone's home and saying, oh, I've been here before. And where does that memory come from? Where did that feeling come from? because I don't think that I have a psychological problem, a memory problem, a neurological issue, but it's just that feeling. And so Wendy's now writing, she also thinks it's a possibility that déjà vu is a glimpse into another dimension, where you may have had a decision that changed something into your life. And sure, I can buy that. I think we have to – by the way, I had a great conversation with Dr. Dan today, everybody. And we were talking about how we see things from the human perspective versus the spiritual perspective. And that's where things change. And for those who don't know, you know, a very – you know, dear friend of the school and former graduate, Dr. Dan is managing through terminal cancer at the moment. And so he's having way more psychic experiences, and he's trying to interpret and understand them without thinking he's going crazy. And I said, well, I think there's two reasons. I said, you know, you're on that edge. And he totally agreed. He's absolutely comfortable with the conversation, for the record here. Is you're on that precipice between life and death.
Mm.
But he also has a mass in his brain.
Yeah.
So there's a filter gone.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, it's the antenna of consciousness is being tampered with, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, we can see what regions of the brain fire when we feel different emotions, when we practice different skills, language,
sure.
Memory, etc. But again, you know, there's something ineffable about existing.
We did get into a really interesting element. He said when he has, and because he's had premonitions his whole life, he said, but why do I always see the bad things? Why can't I see the good things? And I said, well, that's easy to answer. And he said, what? I said, because we don't look for the good things. You know,
yeah.
We are conditioned to be fear-based.
Yeah.
And I think this happens in déjà vus also, where we have this, you know, foreboding or something in a déjà vu.
Like, oh, I've never had a foreboding déjà vu. Never.
Interesting.
It's never been negative, ever. Mm-hmm. I associate it very positively. It's always an interesting experience. It's always kind of that thing that sparks a little wonder in me for a moment.
Well, and that's good to hear, Michael. But with what Dan and I were talking about today was that very often how we've been conditioned in our early training and the neural pathways that we function most commonly with will guide how we interpret our psychic experiences. And again, it's seeing life through the human perspective versus in our evolution as we get older to see it through a spiritual perspective.
Yeah.
And we take, for instance, you get older, you don't take the same thing seriously. You realize that, oh, those things aren't important anymore. Oh, the quality of my life is this. I used to be really ambitious. Acquisition no longer matters. And it's more the feeling lighter, unencumbered, and, you know, it's getting closer to the death end. And having a completely different perspective about life. And then again, that's the lighter. We're lightening the load of the human perspective and the organics of being human. And now we're seeing it more from an open, all that physicality doesn't have the same relevance. So now it's what I call more from the spiritual element. And when we do that, it opens up all kinds of senses and experiences. So what I would like to know too, though, and of course I have no answer to this, is our déjà vu is more common when somebody is younger, where the spirit is trying to talk to you, you know, interact with being human, or in the organics, or do older people have more déjà vus? I don't know.
I gotta say, it's probably different for everybody, really, right?
Well,
I mean, everything always ends up being. I mean, we just talked, about different experience, how we interpret things, and that makes me think a little bit. I had a great session with Dr. Zach earlier. He was kind enough to do a reading and going into some different astrological things.
Oh, cool.
And one thing we talked about is just, you know, how many different influences go into our lives. And by the way, just shout out, thank you. I wasn't the best student at the time, but it was fascinating to me I actually would be interested in learning more just about it, even just the history of it, how much it ties into us as a species. Mm. But I digress. Thank you again, Dr. Zach. But we talked about how many different things go into being alive, to being a human, to our existence, mm. all the different variables, all the different influences. And that makes me think about what you and Dr. Dan were talking about, how early experiences kind of shape the tint upon which you see mm-hmm. these experiences, right?
Yep.
But well, that's all I have to say about that.
Very often, and Dan and I were able to talk about this, he was a flight attendant for decades. Most people would know that. And he could foresee plane crashes. But he goes back in his childhood. His father worked for the FAA and took him to the location of a small plane crash when Dan was 8. Huh. So he saw this plane crash. And I said, that's a trigger. You know, that's part of what I said, that affirms to me, Dan, that you had this early, you know, plug-in, if you will, to, you know, planes and these experiences. And unfortunately, I think there was more than an 8-year-old could bear to handle because he was changed. And even his older sister said, you were changed after that. And so a fear, like there was this, think of it as a thorn, if you will, of plane crashes. So he can predict plane crashes.
Makes me think again, Final Destination vibes off this.
No, what? What?
Final Destination.
Oh, I saw that. That's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, if he can do Final Destination 2, you know, log truck crashes. You know,
there was two occasions where he refused to go on a flight, and there was incidents with those planes. Okay. And people say, how did you know that? And he said, I don't know how I know this. But again, it shaped how he even psychically experiences life, intuitively, you know, in how he is navigated through his world. And I think that early childhood training, unless we look for something otherwise, is going to kind of rule the show. And I think that could be said in any capacity, but as a metaphysician, we're going to interpret, and again, Dr. Douglas Kelly, you know, affirms this time and again through the program, of it's about perspective, and you have to know who you are. How is it you are seeing things? So a déjà vu is how are you seeing it, and what is your worldview? Mm-hmm. What is your reality?
Yeah.
And so that's why I think we could take this in so many different directions. It's a very exciting discussion in my mind.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I've said so many times, and I truly believe the most entertaining discussions and the most interesting questions you can ask are about the things that have no definitive answers. It allows us to explore our reality in very interesting ways. But
getting to know ourselves differently.
Yeah, absolutely. But I am getting deja vu, nice little segue, because it is that time again.
It is.
Where we pull some cards, and I have inner oracle cards that Dr. Kelly the Elder came up with, and, you know, just supposed to make you think, nothing more, just to make you think, and I like to think there might be a little bit of random prediction in there, because I always shuffle them pretty thoroughly, and just see what they come up with, and then you have the hard part, you have to intuit off some tarot cards. Well, I have to, is strong. Get to. But I think we lost you, Dr. Vicky.
No,
with
I'm here. Oh, I'm listening.
Jokes did not land at all. That was just dead silence. Crickets bombed. But go ahead and throw your name in or let us know if you'd like a card pulled for you. All right. So I'm catching up on a little chat. Is Dr. Zach our first?
Yeah, that's great. And he said, happy new moon in Gemini. I love a new moon. I do.
All right.
I think something happened last year where people are crazier on a new moon than a full moon. I don't know, Zach, if you can tap into that. He's our local graduate astrologer. Well, so
I don't think this ties into crazy per se, but as a classic, you know, Zach's a longtime friend of the broadcast and friend of the organization. He is often asked third from the left. I think that's what he asked for, right? Well, yeah, he did, and that's good because that's what I pulled. And Dr. Zach, you get wild card number one, Paradox. That's a classic. All right. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. Thus, new perspectives are discovered.
Okay, I got temperance, Zach. So I think it's just a time to be patient. You know, I always see temperance as water going with the flow. And at the moment, just go with the flow and see the paradox. And so that's the best thing I can advise you, at least today. And maybe today is just this week. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't take things too seriously. And just kind of watch the show. You know, do what you need to do going through your moments and your days. And but temperance is a bold one. It says, chill out. Go with the flow.
All right. And we have Dr. Jeff next.
Yeah.
And for you, I have number 6, boundaries. Let's see. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it's necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Well, I got the 7 of diamonds. So that in tarot language, that's a 7 of pentacles. I like that, Jeff. Knowing your boundaries, seeing the harvest after all the work. It's like having a new view of your life and reality and seeing what works, what benefits you, like where the value is, basically. And you're able to do that better at this point. And I think that's going to continue. And something over the next 10 days is going to come around for you. I think that's cool.
I like it. All right, Ronaldo, glad to have you with us. I have for you number 16, continuity of life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity in the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin.
Oh, Ronaldo, I got the Ace of Spades. These are kind of good cards tonight, folks. I'm liking the flow of this energy. Ace of Spades, or the Ace of Swords, to me, is achievement, like success, but through a challenge. So that continuity of life, like you're going to wake up tomorrow and it's going to be a brand new day. And the Ace of Spades is saying, even if you're going through a challenge, you know, it's success in some way is assured. So I want to say it's that continuity of life. Keep going and know that there's benefits to this. You know, there's benefits around the corner. Even though, I don't know why I want to say that, even though some days you don't think of that. So.
Good advice. All right, Dr. Zaram, we have you next, if I'm not mistaken. And for you, I have number 5, law of control. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says that you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept the present circumstance as it is, lobby for change, or leave.
Well, Zoran, interesting. I'm puzzled a little bit, but I'm going to go with this. The Queen of Pentacles, or the Queen of Diamonds, we get this law of control, and there's perhaps a female figure involved. Now, this may well have to do with a coworker, but it has to do with finances or where somebody else is controlling the situation. And I think it's allowing others to have their own space. So let's say you have a supervisor who is a female in this case, or female energy, and that's just the way she rolls. So you get to find that way to, you know, find that center or that meeting of minds. What's in your control? What's in her control? If this is in some way a family member, it's allowing each other that space to each do things differently. Or if it's a partner in some way, then finding a meeting of the minds. So I'm going with it in whatever way you apply that, but in my view, it's a female energy, or how you're managing with female energy. That's got a certain amount of authority, or a position of authority, or thinks she does, because not all people have the authority that they think they do. Oh, look at that. He says he's inheriting an apartment from his mother. It's in the process. You're beyond precise. Well, thank you for that. So, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's eerie.
It's like that was big.
Hey, at least you're on the side of good, Dr. Vicky. It's lucky for all of us.
So, yeah, it's just finding that, you know, center ground. So, and mm-hmm. where that belongs, where everything fits.
It's good stuff. I like seeing it. We have Andra next. Andra, glad to have you. And for you, we're going to pull one for Silas too, don't worry. But for you, I have wild card number 8, freedom. Ooh. Freedom is a state of being. It's an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Boy, I pulled another one, Ace of Pentacles. So that Ace of Diamonds, freedom, finances, stability, like you're back on your game is what I want to say. So feeling that sense of comfort, or, you know, being able to relax a bit. So I guess my question is, did you get that job, Audra? Because if you didn't, there's something here today, and it's you relax. So it's back in the financial game and, you know, finding that, oh, like you can breathe again. So I find that very encouraging. Like it's a real positive kind of affirmation or message to you.
Nice. All right,
so we
Silas.
Have our son Silas, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just a little sidebar. I thought we were pulling, you know, a lot of lower numbers, you know, whether they're wild cards or not. First card was wild card number 1. Second card was normal 6. Third card was 16, 1 and 6. Oh, that's interesting. Then 5, then 8, then 7. I'd have a straight if I was playing poker. I don't know why that seemed interesting to me, but you get number 7, Silas. That is self-mastery.
Ah.
All right. And to go to the good book. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness.
And I got the Jack of Clubs. And the Jack of Wands, Silas, with self-mastery, I think you're changing. You're going through a shift. Because any of the suit of clubs is about shifting and changing. And, of course, a Jack can be, you know, the prince to the king or the princess to the queen. That's what I always say. So it's a youthfulness. It's an energy and changing. And learning to be your own young man. Learning to be of your own mind, choosing your own way, what I sense here is you're finally starting to make up your mind or feel like there's a direction, and good for you, because maybe you've been waffling for a while, but something is starting to feel right, make sense to you, and that's what self-mastery is about, you know, following that inner voice and that kind of your sense of belonging, where you feel like you're plugged into the world best. So I think that you're in a shift. I think it's a really good one, too.
I love it.
Yeah.
I do apologize. There is a horrendous, vicious Maine Coon fur goblin that broke into my house and is just rampaging through my study here. But, I'll pacify it later. But for our card keeper, Wendy, so thankful. By the way, to those in the archives that don't always see the chat, Wendy actually tracks how many times a person gets a card to look for any kind of patterns and things like that. So very thankful for that. Just all volunteer basis. You know, she came up with it. Wonderful idea. Yep. Love it. Thank you so much. Wendy, you get number 29, pay it forward, which you always do, but pay it forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
Well, I got the moon. I think the moon is always a mystery. And so I think what could be happening here is someone is paying it forward to you, Wendy. I think there's a little gift I'm feeling a little gift in the energy coming your way. Something unexpected. Something nice. Something saying, So there's, again, pay it forward can go either way, folks. So it's not necessarily about you paying it forward. Sometimes we have to learn to be gracious to receive. And because someone is doing their part in paying it forward. And so then just, you know, sometimes we're all, like I am, when I receive a gift or something, I'm so humbled. It's like part of me says, oh, man, I don't deserve this. And then I shake my head and say, but that's what I would do. And it's to be gracious in receiving. And so with the moon and pay it forward, I say there's a little mystery here. And there's good cause, good reason for optimism that things are turning a page and things are going to come your way in a mysterious way.
And Wendy's telling us that she lost her internet, I think probably right when we were starting to talk about her cards. Wendy, you got number 29, pay it forward. If you didn't hear, we all love you. We're all thankful for what you do. And Dr. McGee, you said you pulled the moon card.
Yep.
I liked your summation there. I think that was perfect for timing for her.
So just to back up here, Audra, thanks for this, Audra. She said both those cards we pulled for her and for Silas are applicable. Silas is spot on. Today was his last day of senior year, freedom for her. And he's starting an apprenticeship at the local community theater this summer.
Oh, very cool.
That he only made the decision to apply 2 days before the applications were due. Good for you, Silas. Congratulations. So big changes ahead. And I think you're doing exactly what your spirit is calling you to do.
I love
it. It's exciting.
Now,
yes,
I think we have the last card of the evening is Dr. Zach's friend, Tanner, who's also listening in. So welcome.
Yeah, welcome, Tanner.
I don't think the chat was going pretty quick there for a minute. So if I missed anybody, I do apologize. Let me know. But I think that's our last one. Tanner, for you, I have number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
You know, Tanner, two cards came out at the same time. The first one is that Nine of Spades. So that Nine of Swords, sometimes it's what I feel automatically is a wet heart. So there might be something that you've just been through, a sadness or like a recovery of just something that really impacted you. Maybe it just hurt your feelings. But the Three of Clubs, says look into the future, find things to look forward to. So that meaning and purpose with these two makes perfect sense to me, and I'm hoping it does to you as well, that what are your plans for the future? How do you see the future? So that Three of Clubs or the, you know, Three of Wands is, you know, it's like seeing across the field, seeing across the water, you know, seeing across what's over there, and what do you see for your, like the next day or next week. So whatever you have experienced or what you've been through, know that there's good cause for optimism and better days ahead. And not just because you're being, that's the word I want to find, Michael. You know, I'm waiting for it to happen because you're participating. So I want to say, sometimes the meaning of life is exactly how you apply yourself to life and knowing that we have to roll with stuff. So I hope that makes sense to you, Tanner. There's way better days ahead. That's what I'm inclined to say. So,
good stuff. Good stuff.
All right. Hey, well, we've got a few new names in our chat. Yeah. I want to thank everybody for joining us. It's nice to see some new folks and, of course, our regulars.
We have the best crew. We got the best group that comes together. You know, that I've kind of borrowed this from another podcast, our community of the curious. You know, it's this people that are open-minded, people that want to explore the world around us. And I love it. I love everything about it. And I always look forward to seeing you guys.
Oh, and Dr. Zach is, thanks, Zach, for saying it resonates for Tanner. So, thanks for that. Again, you guys, I don't know what I'm talking about when I say these things. It just comes out.
Well, that makes two of us. I just read from a book, so.
Well, see, I don't know. And I think that's the whole thing of intuition is get out of the way, is don't try to intellectualize it. Don't try to worry about somebody's feelings, except our responsibility is delivery in a good way. And it's never to demean people, never put people down, never fearmonger. Like, those are rules. That's a rule for life. You can give somebody a heads up, but again, not be attached to the outcome and not be attached to what other people decide to do for themselves. If I want respect for my life and the decisions I make, I must also give it to others. And it's just something we all have to learn in life is don't judge people for the decisions, even if they're mistakes, or is it a mistake at all? That's a life lesson, and everybody's on their own path. So that's all I have to say.
Well, it's a good thing to say. I love it. I love it. Well, it is that time of the evening where we draw to a close. You know, go ahead and if you guys have any ideas for topics, things you'd like us to go on about, if you're interested in, you know, coming on, let us know what you would like to talk about. We'll definitely consider it, and we'll love to have you. And you can put that on the One Planet community. You can email me, drmichael@icmh.org. And, yeah, let us know. But we're looking forward to next week. I think we're going to probably think of something along the week, and we'll have something that is, I mean, it's going to be profound. It's going to be earth-shattering. It's going to completely revolutionize your idea of consciousness. I mean, probably. But it'll be good. So I very much look forward to having you join us next week. And Dr. Vicky, it's come to that time, and I think I'm getting a vibe, I think, for what we're going to be talking, what you're going to say. But yeah. Do you have any last words for us?
Yeah, don't let them push you around out there.
That's the stuff. That's the good stuff right there. I love it. All right. Well, everybody, please join us next week. We always love seeing you. I love this community. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.